Welcome back to Community Connections, and now being the first Wednesday of the month between 1 and 2, we've got our private investigator, Peter from Absolute Facts. Peter, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you, Alan. Yourself?
Terrific. You've come through loud and clear, mate. Now, we set you off last time with a couple of little projects. Can you tell us how you went, please, mate?
Yeah, sure. So one of the first ones was you were asking the question, or I think one of your listeners or a few of your listeners were asking whether retail losses were or theft of retail products was on the increase.
Yep.
I don't have any statistical evidence, but I've certainly got some anecdotal evidence from speaking to people, contacts around the traps, and I think I've mentioned before a shrinkage level at about 2%. Is a possibility, and I suspect that's very much close to the truth at the moment for many, many large retailers. But if you think of 2% of a very large turnover, it's quite a big number.
Well, if you're talking, I don't want to talk brands specifically, so I'll talk about three or four. If you talk, say, Coles, Bunnings, Woolworths, Kmart, you put a few of those together, you're talking 1% or 2%, you're talking a lot of money, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. And I just clarify again that that is shrinkage, which does include theft, breakage and wastage and things like that. But from what I'm hearing around the traps, and obviously people aren't keen to put out official figures or reluctant to do so, there's definitely a slight increase. There's no question that there's an admission to a slight increase in the overall numbers. Which led me to an interesting article I came across, Alan, not too many days ago, and it was about a burglar who bungled two break-in attempts and then stole $1,300 in meat from Woolworths, has now been given 6 months jail by the Geelong Magistrates Court. And the comments of the magistrate, whose name is Simon Guthrie, basically said rehabilitation was clearly not working for the chap involved. Also, quote unquote, "You must be a massive disappointment to your parents."
Gee, yeah.
And quote unquote, "This type of offending is a recurring theme for you." So the upshot was that this gentleman's going to be in custody for 6 months now, and then he'll be subject to certain orders upon his release. And that his recent crime spree, if you like, included breaking into the Kerr Lewis Golf Club, which is obviously down Geelong way, stole a golf club and a bathrobe. So he might have been a bit cold. Attempted two burglaries at the Geelong Gordon TAFE campus. During the first attempt, he tried to squeeze himself through a door but was unable to get his entire body into the building. 1 week later, he tried again to enter the TAFE building, attempted to remove screws from the door frame, but again bungled his break-in attempt.
Bit of disaster.
Yes. His theft streak ended on January of this year. I think it's January the 8th. I can't quite read it. When this gentleman and two other people entered the Kingston Village Square Shops in Ocean Grove, the trio entered a liquor store with a pram and hid several liquor bottles inside. The chap that was sentenced was pushing the pram, made no attempt to pay for the alcohol. All three individuals then entered the nearby Woolworths and began shoving meat items and other stolen goods into the pram. Another shopper witnessed the thefts and reported the trio to staff and police. The offender then pushed the pram, left out of the store through the entry gates, joined his accomplices in a nearby McDonald's where police found him and the stolen goods.
Just sitting there.
three bottles of Jack Daniels, $1,386 worth of meat, razors, black tea and electric shavers were among the goods located by police. He pleaded not guilty, but I think it was pretty hard to argue with that.
Well, particularly if there was any CCTV, it'd be hard pushed to argue against it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and my understanding is, Alan, it was actually the member of the public was actually a loss prevention expert, if you like, so they picked it up pretty quickly, even though they weren't there for that purpose. They just happened to be shopping at the same time.
Just happened to be in the shop. Gee,
yeah, just happened to be at the shop. So I think that person was quite helpful in pointing out what was going on to both staff and more importantly the police. So yes, some people never rest with their duties.
Well, at least the magistrate wasn't putting up with any rubbish either, was he?
No, that's to be honest, that seemed like that's a fairly steep sentence from what sometimes normally happens with all the running comments about people out on bail or multiple bails. So obviously the magistrate had enough.
And we've actually got some more questions for you, which we're going to send your way about retail shrinkage and theft. We've had another couple of calls. It seems to be something that people want to know about. But, Peter, I'll just take a quick break and then we'll come back and we're going to talk about marriages.
Okie dokie.
Thanks, mate.
Yarra Valley, FM 99.1.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and I'm talking to Peter from Absolute Facts. We've had some real technical issues now. Peter, we're back again. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Alan, yep.
Righto. Let's just stick with the way we're going. Peter, I can't remember what it was, but you're going to look at marriages for us too.
Yes, you're asking me about marriages and whether there'd been a general increase or decrease over time. So the information I came up with was the share of married men has dropped by a similar amount to women over the past two decades, but was a little higher in 2021 at 50.3%. Overall, the share of Australians who are legally married has fallen by about 6 percentage points over the past 20 years.
Well, is that all? I would have thought it would have dropped a little more than that.
Yeah. So then to follow up on, is marriage declining in Australia? In 2020, the rate was 3.1 marriages per 1,000 Australian residents, the lowest rate ever recorded. In 2021, the rate was 3.5 marriages per 1,000 residents, higher compared to the previous year, but still significantly lower than the pre-pandemic years. And I know you're going to ask me, Alan, because you're an inquisitive kind of guy.
Yeah.
Which Australian state has the highest divorce rate? Would you like to have a stab at that?
Well, I know you're setting me up because that's what you do. I would say Sydney.
New South? Yeah, no. Yeah. In 2021, the crude divorce rate in, wait for it, Queensland, averaged averaged 2.6 per 1,000 people. There were 56,244 divorces granted in Australia, of which 13,475 of those were attributed to Queenslanders.
I wonder why, Peter.
I don't know. Don't ask me to come up with an answer to that. I have no idea.
I would have thought with the people up there, a lot of the retirees, although they do say a lot of people are divorcing later in life too, don't they?
Yes, that's certainly a trend. I think we discussed that last month, actually, about that, yeah, from memory.
Gee, that amazes me.
Yeah, so that was the marriage one. Now, I had a bit of a segue to continue on with the theme that we were on, which was to do with the gentleman that was helping himself to some meat at Woolworths down at Ocean Grove.
Yep.
And I did notice an article or some attention which made Coles, the retailer, admit that they are now tagging some of their meat products.
Putting tags on them. Gee.
Tags on them, and they're saying they've launched a new trial to combat theft at 10 Victorian stores, and they only basically made the admission after images of plastic security tags attached to individual steak packages were shared online. So they were kind of shamed into admitting that they're doing a trial to tag meat.
Well, I guess the other issue with that too is that you and I are paying for that, aren't we? Not so much the tagging, but the stuff that's being knocked off. It's going onto our bills, isn't it? We're paying for it.
Absolutely, in the long term. Yeah, that's right. And the cost of the tags and monitoring the tags and having people monitoring the tags there's a cost inherent in that too, but obviously that's cheaper than the cost of losing the product without it being paid for. So,
Peter, can I ask you, well, we're still on this same subject, I'm not trying to take off the subject, but if you were employed by X, and I don't want to bring out any particular brand here because we're not here to do that. If you're being employed by them in asset protection and somebody grabs some of that meat, put it in their basket or the pram and walked out the door, as a private investigator, would you tackle them? I mean, what happens then?
Yeah, look, it's a little bit of a dicey area. I mean, theoretically you could make a citizen's arrest, but again, you probably don't want to get involved in what the implications of that might be. I think probably what you might do is you'd probably let them know that you're aware that they were stealing. You'd bring it to the attention of if there's security or perhaps a manager or someone on the door of the shop that they've left. And you might even go as far as perhaps trying to get them to a vehicle or something like that so that you can pass that information onto police and that they might help them, assist them with their inquiries.
Peter, still on the same subject, have you ever been in a shop, like apart from being when a retailer's employed you, have you ever been in a shop and seen it happen?
Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, basically what my stance is, I just make it pretty obvious to them that I'm onto them and leave it up to them whether they want to pursue trying to walk out the store with whatever it is they're trying to get out without paying. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of, I go into what I'd loosely call a bumbling cop routine. and as a deterrent to basically let them know that you're onto them. And, you know, as I said, it's then up to them whether they want to pursue it. I would say to you that probably 9 times out of 10, they'll drop the stuff and leave.
Yeah, that's fair enough too. Peter, have you got any more on that? I don't want to cut you off.
Yeah, no, we're leading into one of the articles that I came across. Again, another recent article was police did a bit of an operation down at Westfield Geelong. Everything seems to be Geelong-based at the moment. But anyway, targeting shoplifters. So this sort of segues again nicely. Mm-hmm. They're saying an operation in December last year resulted in about $10,000 worth of items being recovered by police. And they focused on Westfield Geelong again quite recently, over 4 days. And one of their, they nabbed a woman who attempted to steal a trolley load of items from Big W, including electronics and toys, worth about $2,000. And three alleged thieves were caught stealing $280 worth of items. Understood thieves stealing high-end items from Westfield Geelong, including designer clothes and perfume, and then selling them trying to sell them for a profit. And the they're talking about a brawl in the food court, which I'm not sure what the relevance of that is. But what they're saying is it was a multi-agency operation, included loss prevention officers and security guards from Westfield with the assistance of police. And basically, the senior police officer there was urging shop owners and sales assistants to report thefts, especially from smaller stores, with him noting that junior staff were often hesitant to report stolen goods due to fear of confrontation with the offenders, which was kind of what we touched on just before. The highlight for me in the industry that I work in, Alan, is this his quote when he says, in most cases, if they're stolen from one store, they have stolen from others.
So it's, just that, not, it's not opportune. It's more that it's a deliberate plan to do it.
Yeah, and then he says, we want to educate the offenders to think twice before stealing. Well, good luck with that. But I think the key point for me that comes out of that, and it's something that I'm very familiar with, is if they're stealing from one retailer, they are very, very likely to be stealing from a number of retailers.
Are they?
Yeah. So that it's not just them. It's not normally people just targeting one retailer. It's basically their course of conduct and whatever they happen to be interested in at the time. They'll target whatever retailer stocks, whatever it is they would like, basically.
Is it mainly for stuff that they think they can sell easily rather than...
Oh, I think there's a couple of angles there. One is probably necessity, so food and things like that, essential items. The other one is something to turn a profit, so that's when he's talking about the perfume and designer clothes and high-end goods. That's to turn a profit. There's plenty of marketplaces that are both online and offline that you can probably make a bit of a... Well, particularly if you haven't paid for it, you can certainly do okay.
Not hard to make a profit, is it?
even if you're selling at half price, you're still doing pretty good, aren't you? So, and then there was an interesting, the flip side, there's always, what do you call it, cause and effect, Alan, is that one of the flip sides of all these countermeasures that retailers are taking, I think a lot of people are very against this locking the... you try to get out of a supermarket with a trolley and the gates don't open.
Yep.
I think people are quite pushing a little bit resistant towards that. But they're also saying that shoppers are now becoming camera shy and may choose to shop elsewhere if they think they are being over-monitored. So the flip side of the poor retailer trying to protect their profits is in a roundabout sort of way turning some customers off.
I don't have a problem being photographed, do you?
Oh, no. Well, obviously not in the industry I'm in. I'm all for it. But, if you're not doing, as you said yourself, if you're not doing anything wrong, you've really got nothing to worry about. So the people that have got something to hide that kick up a fuss.
Absolutely agree. Peter, I've got to take another quick break. Now, we played in the last bracket a Slim Dusty record. The first one that everybody's ever heard of was The Pub With No Beer, and it was very famous. Slim Dusty. We played one in the last hour, the sequel to The Pub With No Beer, and this one's the answer to A Pub With But No Beer. I don't think anybody's heard, or very rarely did either of these get played. So let's listen to it.
Where the hills roll away from a small country town, there are hearts filled with sorrow as the word spreads around. And the jackass won't laugh, 'cause there's no jokes to hear. So let me tell you the reason for the pub with no beer. Broken down on the track, for she stripped every gear, stands the old grey Blitz wagon, the one with the beer. And the driver's near mad, standing scratching his ear. He knows just what they're thinking at the pub with no beer. When the drover rides out and draws rein by the truck, he joins in with the driver and curses their luck. Where's Billy the blacksmith? We could do with him here. But Bill moved on to Grafton, where the brewery stands near. So the drover rides back with a brilliant idea. He rides hard in the saddle till the town's drawing near. He dismounts in the lane and the dog cringes near as the swaggy's just leaving the pub with no beer. There's excitement all round as the drover tells where the old Blitz is busted on the plains way out there. Every man that can ride, says the drover to all, saddle up, let's get moving, and we'll bring back the haul. When the boys rode back in, what a strange sight they made. They charged into the town like the old light brigade. With tow ropes and tackle, they all pulled as one, and the old Blitz moved faster than she ever had done. Soon the kegs were rolled in, one was placed on the bar. They filled all the glasses, every jug and each jar. Soon the word passed around and they all gave a cheer, and there was laughter once more in the pub with no beer.
Well, there you go. We've had a bit of fun with Slim Dusty this afternoon. As I said, I think everybody has heard The Pub With No Beer, but the first one we heard in the last hour was the sequel to The Pub With No Beer, and that was the answer, The Pub With No Beer, where the old Blitz broke down on the way in. Anyway, we're talking to Peter for Absolute Facts. Peter, you want to talk a bit about criminal offences?
Yeah, but first I wonder if they could bring out an updated version, which might be along the lines of The Supermarket With No Meat.
yeah, well put.
So, we're stuck in Geelong again, Alan. I'm not sure what's going on here, but their local paper seems to have a lot more statistic and crime sort of information than perhaps the daily ones here. But anyway, basically their headline is, and I'm sure it's going to be the same for Melbourne as well, criminal offences in Geelong have jumped 13% in the past 12 months. The number of property and deception offences jumped nearly 25%. And the reason for that increase was largely due to more thefts from motor vehicles, not necessarily of, but from, and retail store theft, which is what we're seem to be concentrating on today a little bit. Criminal incidents for the greater Geelong area were 22,601 for the year ended 31st of December 2023, which is an increase from 19,875 the year prior. Now, one of the trends that we've sort of touched on before in the past is the age of offenders being quite young.
Yep.
In Victoria, between the ages of 10 to 17, there were 8,175 of offenders charged in 2023. So that'd be the calendar year. a jump of 16% over the previous year.
Gee.
And one of the highlights that come out of that was about 27%, so just over a quarter, were repeat offenders. With the hotspots identified, Frankston, and mostly crimes against others, such as serious assaults, aggravated burglary, and car theft. And the second hotspot was actually Mildura. Most crimes comprised of serious assaults, break-ins, and car theft.
Why Mildura?
I don't know. I actually don't know. You're gonna ask me to do some homework on that, are you?
You might as well. You could.
I'll put a H next to that for my prompt. And then to follow on from that, Alan, I came across an interesting article too, not in the Geelong Advertiser on this occasion, but it was saying that criminals, organised crime figures, are using messaging apps to lure kids into crime, which sort of followed on from what we just talked about. And they're saying that, underworld figures using encrypted message apps to recruit vulnerable children in residential care to commit crimes on their behalf.
Terrible.
Yeah, and they may even be overseas. They don't even have to be in the country, of course. And the teenagers are basically paid a few hundred dollars in cash to commit crimes, which could include things like arson attacks on tobacco shops, which is interesting.
That's been happening, yep.
Exactly. Or basically attacks against rival business owners. So not specifically tobacco necessarily, but just if you want to take out a business rival, they basically pay through these apps some young children to wreak havoc, if you like. So they mention the apps that they're talking about, Telegram, Thema, and Signal, of which I've heard of one of those.
I've never heard of any of them.
Telegram I have heard of, but the other two I must admit I hadn't. And so because they're encrypted, they're basically quite easy for them to stay anonymous, to use them. So because they're saying here police aren't able basically to track back, I would have thought they might be able to follow a money trail, but that could be a different thing. And of course then, if they do apprehend anyone for the actual attacks, then if they're, under the age of 17, there's very little that can be done.
The offences aren't going to be very, there's not going to be a lot of jail time, and also the big crims get away with it.
Yeah, exactly. So they're basically using, and there is an element of that too when we get back to retail theft as well, that perhaps younger people are paid to go and steal items on a commission type basis, because if they do get caught, they can't really, there's not a lot can happen to them.
It's a bit like the old Fagin, isn't it?
Yes, indeed it is. So what comes around goes around, yep.
Peter,
yep.
I just need to take another quick break, and then I'll, no, we won't. We'll keep going, because I really want to give you some homework too when you finish what you're talking about. Sorry.
Yeah, sure.
Peter, if you could have a look at for the homework for next month.
Yep.
Well, the first one that I think you've almost answered, really. We've had a couple of inquiries. People seem to be very intrigued to learn a bit more about this retail theft. And
yep.
the first one was going to be out of the percentage of all if you can find some statistics, what percentage of that is food? Well, you've talked about being quite a bit, but I don't know if you can find out any more figures as to what percentage it is. The other thing is, out of the people that have done for shoplifting or that are arrested for it, how many of them are first-timers?
Right, yeah.
So I guess what the person here is alluding to is, because of the cost of living, is there more shoplifting, but not necessarily done by the gangs, done by Mr. or Mrs. Average that are really struggling.
So by that's sort of the necessity one, yeah. So the short answer will be yes, but the actual harm to the retailer from that is probably a lot less than the organised crime sort of part of it. Yep.
I'll get you to look at that. And something that you've just brought up while we were talking, and I'll give you this one. If you could think about, because I know you spend time in court listening to cases and seeing what's going on, could you tell us the funniest theft that you've heard of?
As in bungled or...?
Well, yeah. Well, it could be both, bungled, and also somebody that you'd say, really? Would you bother to steal that? Whatever it might be. I don't know. It might be something stupid.
Well, it's kind of like that guy at the golf thing stealing a robe. Well, you wonder what that's about, but obviously he was cold or whatever.
And that's what brought it up. The fact when you said that, I mean, I'll be honest, no one rang about this. I just came up with that. But the funniest theft that you've heard of in court, that you walk away saying, well, if I was going to steal something, that'd be the last thing in this world I'd steal.
Yep, okay. Funniest I've heard, then maybe I'll add the funniest that I can find.
Yes, yeah.
In other words, you know, the stealing the statue or something or whatever it is.
Or something that you just think, oh, it's because you're wasting your time stealing something that's stupid. And I'm not suggesting anybody should steal, but what I'm saying is if you're going to steal something, well, it might as well be something you can use or something, rather than you must look and think, oh, this person's stupid or knocked out. Well, you still take the risk of being caught no matter for a stupid thing, don't you?
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
Peter, I've still got another couple of minutes. Unfortunately, I've got to go pretty soon. Have you got anything else you just want to leave us with?
Yeah, I've got one more thing, and it's an article or a discussion about guards being hired to protect suburbs.
Oh, yes.
So, guards for hire in burbs, paying for peace of mind is the headline.
Yep.
So I've got an article here. I'll pull that apart if you like, and that'll probably round us out, I think.
Yeah, go for that, mate.
All right, thank you.
Oh, I'm ready to go.
So, there you go.
No, I'm not taking a break. We're going straight through. You there, Peter?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, no, we're going to keep going.
Okay, so they'd like me to talk about guards for hire in burbs paying for peace of mind.
Just for a couple of minutes, yep.
Okay, so basically the article's saying is as youth crime spirals across the countries, communities from regional Queensland to some of Sydney and Melbourne's wealthiest suburbs to tourist spots such as Broome, are engaging teams of security guards to patrol their streets, home and businesses. So what they're doing is they're pooling their money and resources to actually have private security guards patrolling their neighbourhood, presumably more often overnight, to basically keep an eye, patrol the residential streets in marked vehicles, which can be very much a deterrent. It's a bit like if you supposedly see a security guard standing at the front door of a retail shop or a police car drives past, everyone sort of pulls their head in for a couple of minutes.
Yep.
And basically the guards look out for unusual activities, you know, unusual people sitting in cars, people loitering, and things like open garage doors, keys left in the ignition of cars and things along those lines. A neighbourhood can get together enough to be able to put enough money together, then you can have a guard posted. I'm actually familiar with one of these from a few years ago in Melbourne. I won't mention the suburb. And I was actually doing some surveillance out in a particular suburb in respect to a gentleman who was subject to a curfew but was very much tending to ignore the curfew. And the first night we were out there, we got confronted by a chap patrolling, and he explained that he was basically this role. That was his role, to keep an eye on what was going on, and he was pretty quick to pick us up to his credit. And interestingly, he turned out to be quite a good source of information because he knew the person that we're after.
Peter, sorry, I've got to go, Peter. I'm going to get run over by the news in a minute, so I've got to go. Thank you for your time, Peter from Absolute Facts, and we look forward to talking to you next month.
Sure, Alan, look forward to it. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Peter. Bye.